So I was on vacation. I'm just gonna start it. I'll probably leave this in. And we did a cave tour, and the cave guide, and, oh, he didn't realize what he was getting into with my family, apparently, because who'd would? But he mentioned this one part of the cave where it gets super narrow, and he's like, "Yeah, kind of like from Indiana Jones movie," and that just set it off. So we get to that part, and we all start singing the theme song to Indiana Jones as we're walking through the cave. The groups behind us even started doing it, and he's like, "Never in my history of working here has somebody actually done it." And we're just like, "Score!" Bear Attack. I am Panda Bear. I was on vacation in a faraway land with fairies and much greenery and not so much excessive, horrible, stinky heat that we currently are living in. And yeah, I am hot. Joined by my most renowned, sometimes controversial co-hosts. To my left, Mr. Blitz Bear, Nate Patton.
Yeah. Attack, attack. Their first album is the peak of music.
Crabcore forever.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better.
And to my right, the man who does boogie down with the crabcore very hard. The polar bear, Sam Montano.
That's right. I'm Stick Stickly forever.
Disclosure, before we get into this, my mom thinks you're a bunch of idiots.
Oh,
but
no.
Go on.
Well, too bad, Chris. Your opinion doesn't matter.
She's stuck with us.
That's right.
I don't know. She did vote, so maybe it did matter. I don't
your
know.
Opinion, your opinion mattered, but also, I'll cry about it later, but not in public, because I have to be tough.
I know. Getting on Chris's bedside is actually scary.
She was mind blown that Taco Bell was even in the conversation, because she's like, that shit is glorified dog shit.
T-Bell, 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 T-Bell.
So right now, it's 4 for In-N-Out, 3 for Taco Bell, but Ollie on the Doom episode did say Taco Bell was his favorite, and
so no definitive winner yet. Poll, we'll discuss it on the next episode.
Ugh,
we decided to do
stressful.
Ah,
if you
not really.
I hope that there.
It's just infuriating.
I love the controversy though. Like, let's keep it going. So. You In-N-Out people, make sure you send it to your friends, because 2 out of the 3 hosts here are Taco Bell guys, so we're pulling for that.
Taco
we're
going to
get our friends involved. So you better have your friend, you better roll up if you want to win.
We're reviewing the 5th and hopefully final Indiana Jones movie. I'm pretty sure it's final. He's too damn old. Let's just get that out there right away. But yes, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Let's get into it.
First
we'll
off,
do our usual.
Why is it the Dial of Destiny?
Because it alliterates, I guess. That's the only reason I can think of.
Yeah, there was no destiny to that. They were all animals.
Well, I think that the destiny is because they always come back or something like that. Like, they always find the dial and go to him. I don't know. I categorically hate time travel stuff unless it's Back to the Future.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Back to the Future is the only one that ever explained it right.
Back to the Future is like, it's pretty, it doesn't get like too crazy with it.
No, it's more like keep it simple, stupid, but get to the point, you know?
Yeah. All these other movies have a, well, so Good, Bad, and Ugly. Do we want to start with, I think, For Blitz Bear personally, I don't know how you guys, we haven't talked about the movie at all, so we're all going into this fresh. Starting with good would be best as far as I go, because it's gonna be, I feel like I need to say nice, that like, I know some Indiana Jones fans that aren't going to wanna I feel like I need to say the good stuff first to not hurt people's feelings too bad.
Let's just do it in order this time. Let's do good, bad, and ugly. in that order.
Sweet.
So let's throw in the goods, boys. Nate, give it to us first so they hear your they're going to hear your voice first and last. So first in good, last in ugly.
Okay. I like it. The good for me is I was wrong about my prediction in that they were going to just treat Indy like, well, I was wrong in the way I thought it would happen. I thought that they were going to treat Indy like crap the whole movie. And just he was going to like be trying to like bring up Phoebe Waller-Bridge, whose name is irrelevant in the movie. I think it's Helena or something like that. And she was just going to be so much better at everything than him. And she was just going to like ace every test that he threw at her. And at the end of the movie, he was going to be like, well, kid, I can't teach you anything. And then he learns his place and goes off into the sunset like the fossil he is. And I thought they were going to do a Luke Skywalker Rey situation with it. And I'm very happy that they didn't quite do that.
That character relationship didn't bother me nearly as much as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, they didn't totally Luke Skywalker him, which made me happy. The de-aging CG looked pretty good.
Yeah, agreed. Except for the fucking part where I'll get into that in my ugly, but yeah.
I will too.
Nate, you were correct. I think we're thinking the same Helena thing. Shaw.
Helena Shaw. Character. I don't remember. I don't
Phoebe
remember them ever saying.
Plays Helena Shaw. They say it a lot, actually.
I think they say Helena a lot. And maybe I just don't remember Shaw because I don't care. Like I didn't really like her dad, but that's not in our good section. I liked when they go into like the little temple part, I guess, and when the spiders and millipedes get all over them and all that. That was pretty made me cringe like an Indiana Jones movie should. Like back in the day, the Indiana Jones movies always had a really scary part, whether it was the snakes or the rats or
or the heart getting pulled out.
The heart
yes.
getting pulled out. The guy getting all the spikes through him and Raiders. So that was cool. I feel like that's pretty much all the good things I have to say about the movie.
I like that Harrison Ford wow. still got to do stunts. Like Indiana Jones still does like crazy people things, even though he's old now.
Yeah. Oh, crazy with more finesse because like it would not have been realistic otherwise.
Yeah. I never really felt like anything he did was just like wildly unbelievable. Except for ironically when he was younger, like there was a lot of stuff on that train scene that I was like, all right, whatever. Like he just jumps over that bar as it's going by and doesn't bounce off the train onto the tracks and break every bone in his body. But when he was old, I never remember anything being like, there's no way that didn't just kill that old man.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought it was really good that like, He is, you know, however old Indiana Jones is at that point. Like, through the movie, they didn't just make him like, we're doing an action thing now, so he has to be spry like a young man again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I haven't seen it in years, but I kind of remember Crystal Skull being more like, wow, that old guy's really swinging from the roof on his whip and everything.
Yeah.
And this one, it kind of felt a little more grounded, maybe.
Yeah, he still did a lot of old man stunts in Crystal Skull, but now he's doing a lot of old man stunts.
Yeah, I was looking at the timeline between Crystal Skull and this one, and it's really not that, like, yes, the actual time between the movies is a lot longer than the actual timeline of the movies, you know?
Okay.
It's like a 10-year difference between the two movies, like in the timeline. Yeah. It was like 59 and 69.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I'm also glad they were able to like set the time period that happens so well with just like they're landing a spaceship. Oh, cool. We got back from the moon. All right. 1960s. Let's do this. And also I liked that they killed off Shia LaBeouf's character, who is supposed to be the new Indiana Jones because he was Indiana Jones's son. And if you remember in the last one, they ended off with him getting the hat.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of my goods. I felt like when...
Yeah, they did a nice job, because that part I was like, okay, he's not in it, obviously.
Yeah, they did a good job of like...
How are they going to... Wrapping that up.
Yeah, like, he existed, but he can't be the next Indiana Jones because he died.
Yeah, when Indy talks about him dying, like, I actually felt something. Like, I got a little emotional, so that was good. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that was probably my biggest good of the movie.
Yeah, Harrison Ford is an old crotchety actor, but he is still a good old crotchety actor.
Yeah, and he's settled into that. He does that one thing very well, like, because Indiana Jones and Han Solo, like, if you look at the last three Star Wars, their arcs are similar. In that, like,
yeah, but Indiana Jones doesn't get lightsabered in the chest.
True, he does get shot though.
Yeah, non-fatally though.
Apparently, I was like, "Oh shit, he's gonna die," and then he survived for another half hour. I'm like, "Right, okay."
Well, I mean, you don't bleed out instantly when you get shot.
Depends on where you get shot.
That's fair. But I mean, depending where you get shot, there's a pretty good chance you can.
So I don't know.
I've seen a lot of movies, you know. I once played a doctor in a stage production, so I know what I'm talking about.
He was really hanging on to the bottom of that plane with that gunshot in him, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Holding a woman while he was doing it.
So I'll go next for my good. My good is, and this might be controversial, I think this movie is more of an Indiana Jones movie than Crystal Skull. It felt way more like, other than the time travel bullcrap, just like the actual, like, finding the artifacts and stuff like that felt way more like Raiders or Last Crusade than Crystal Skull did.
Oh, man. I don't know if I could possibly disagree any more than I do.
I also disagree, but I'm going to let you keep going.
I'm not saying it's better than Crystal Skull. I felt like it was more like along the lines of those. I don't know. Crystal Skull is a weird one.
I feel like there was actual like tomb raiding and stuff in Crystal Skull, where this one's just like, we need to go to this place now, and then we go to that place now. And they don't really like, everything that they find is just kind of laying out in the open for them. They don't really have to, like, go down into any dark holes or anything to find. They go down, they pop down to the ship wreckage real quick and then right back up. And then they go into the tomb that's, like, we're kind of getting into my bad now, but the massive cavern that I can't believe no one just walked in and found the temple, just exploring the caves. It doesn't seem like they went particularly far down in there or anything, but.
They didn't go far in, but they can climb 40 feet up a sheer cliff. That's like, why would you climb up there?
Yeah. But I feel like in Crystal Skull, they were actually going to, like, you know, like, places that hadn't been, like, modernized and stuff. And they were, like, actually having to go down into, like, some pretty crazy tombs and whatnot to find things.
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be that the fact that the alien aspect of Crystal Skull bothered me, and I'm like, okay, the time travel I can live with now because they did aliens. Like,
yeah. Yeah. But I don't know why, like, the alien, like, the Temple of Doom stuff is probably the least, like, believable of all the Indiana Jones ones, and for some reason,
see,
it doesn't bother me.
Like, I disagree, because, like, voodoo and stuff like that is actually a thing. Like, that was...
Yeah, but you can't...
So are aliens, Oceans.
Heart. Yeah. That's... yeah, I guess it's... The Indiana Jones movies really, like are the litmus test for what you believe, because, like, the alien thing bothers me more than really any of the other stuff, and I...
Yes.
And, you know, it's not like aliens are really that far-fetched of a theory.
No, but ones that have crystal skulls and, like, come on,
well,
get the
well,
fuck
crystal
out of here.
Crystal skulls are a real thing around that, the Latin and South America.
Yeah, I mean, true.
So, But no, but I don't know. I'm with you, Oceans. Though it's like I just, it's like
I don't know. Aliens. I don't know. It felt to me like there. Okay, so there isn't a bad Indiana Jones. There are worse Indiana Jones. Oh. Like they are. Like I could all watch. I'd watch them all again.
I disagree with that too. I think there's three good ones.
I don't know. I don't think Temple of Doom is that great, but
I've only seen it once, but I really enjoyed it. So I need to see it again.
Yeah, they're not bad enough that I won't see them again. There are things that definitely bother me more about the last two, and I definitely think they're the bottom two, but I could interchange them. Like there are good things that I like about both, but like I don't know. I don't know. Watching this one, I felt like, okay, this is inherently Indiana Jones. Like they do things where I'm like, okay, it's an Indiana Jones movie. I didn't feel that the first time I watched Crystal Skull. Like it took me a minute.
Okay. I agree with you insofar as I was expecting it to be, to not at all feel like an Indiana Jones movie. And
right, like I went in with real low expectation, like oh, this is gonna be garbage, whatever. And
I really thought it
wasn't
was gonna
as bad
be
as
an,
I thought.
I really thought it was gonna be an assassination of his character, and like they did with Luke Skywalker. And fortunately, I have all these voices in my head, not like a crazy person, but kind of. So Susie with the blue hair and the septum piercing is screaming like Luke was insecure and a brat in the originals, and it's like yeah, in the first one when he was like growing up and he had a whole character arc and everything, and then they just undid all that in the sequels, and I'm really happy they didn't do that with Indy for the most part.
I mean he pulled a reverse Anakin, because I felt the same way about Anakin. I was like, oh god, this is terrible.
I mean, Star Wars is just Skywalker family drama.
We'll get into that. So yeah, that's my good. It inherently felt like an Indiana Jones movie. I wasn't that disappointed. Like it's not the best Indiana Jones movie, but I would not watch it again. Like, and like I like how they tied up all the loose ends and Marion. Spoiler alert: go see the Deacon movie. Marion comes back in the end, and it all works out that way. But
I'm so glad they brought Marion back.
Yeah, I would have been pissed if they hadn't.
She is one of my favorite characters in the franchise. I mean, she's really the only Indiana Jones girl I care about. Like, who wants to see Elsa again?
Elsa was terrible. Willy was terrible.
I liked Elsa as, like, how she was a traitor. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I kind of wish they would have brought Short Round back, but I also see why they didn't, because I'm like, yeah, where would they fit that in, you know?
Polar Bear, you want to tell us your bad?
Golly, do I want to tell you my bad.
There's so much.
Not really. I actually really enjoyed this Indiana Jones movie. My bad, though, was sort of, I feel like they really forced themselves to put in Indiana Jones lines where it was just like the hardest, like, and shoehorn that in.
Ooh, I would argue.
Like when he says, it belongs in a museum.
He says that like three times, I feel like.
He says it like, yeah, he says it a lot. Like it's like they're like,
yeah,
Indiana Jones only believes in museums.
I feel like
they really grabbed onto that from Last Crusade.
That part didn't bother me, because I feel like, yes, he's old, and you know how old people are set in their ways,
yeah,
and they repeat
true.
Themselves.
But here's why I think it's bad. It's not because it's like yeah, he believes that like this is like culturally important and it belongs in a museum. Totally fine. Like, I'm 100% with you. It probably belongs in a museum. But he, like, they go into this room of priceless artifacts that belong to a museum in the beginning of the movie, and he just bowls over all of this,
yeah,
like,
it's
irreplaceable pottery.
It's not a character thing as much as, it's like the fuzzy die, or the not fuzzy, but the metal dice that Han Solo has on his in the Falcon, and how they made that, like, they just wouldn't stop showing it in Solo. It's like, not a single person I know noticed those in the original trilogy, and the only reason we know about them is because they kept hammering it in our faces in Solo. It's not nearly that bad, but it's a little bit like that thing. They're just like, oh, hey, this is something he says. You like Indiana Jones, right? Here, we'll give you more of that.
I don't even know if it's that, because I feel like that's a more of a character development. Like, as he ages, his priorities get different, and, you know, now he's this grizzled, hardened old man, and he's not willing to, like, it's a, you know, old people find change difficult, so that might also be part of it.
Yeah. I feel like you're doing a little bit of the writer's job for them, because I just don't believe for a second that was the intention. Or I don't think that they ever put that much thought into it, I guess I should say. But well, I could see that, sure.
I didn't like that Helena has her own shorty.
She has her,
like,
own short
that felt
round.
A lot like remember how good the people liked it when Indiana Jones had that, like, native kid with him?
They could have just brought him back, God damn it. It's not like the dude's dead or anything.
Yeah. Let's give new Indiana Jones her own local kid.
That kid really did feel like an afterthought who became, like, a very prominent character.
Yeah, it's like they're like, and this kid helps her. And then one writer was like, all right, and we're done with the kid. Like, he stays there because that's where he lives, and it's irresponsible to bring a child on a trip like this. And then another writer came in and said, but what if he's the new short round? Huh?
I didn't.
Huh? And what if he miraculously flies a plane into a fucking time vortex? Like,
okay, they actually did pretty good with that one, because they never showed him landing, but they showed him, like, learning.
Yes, they did.
The basics of, like, how a plane should be flown.
Did you miss
that? They totally showed him land.
The pilot that owns the plane that he stole lands it.
Yeah, and then there's that guy that just happens to sleep in his plane, in his two-seater plane.
The kid takes off by himself and gets up in the air and goes through this adventure with them. Doesn't get a name, just like... Yeah, just a man just completely thrown into this adventure against his will, has no idea what's going on.
Flying planes is really
I
not
thought
that
that
simple.
Was stupid.
I hated how she's like, also, why in the world does she ask him, can you fly that? He's like, I don't know, I've never. And she's like, you don't sound too sure. Or he looks there and goes, yes. And she goes, you don't sound sure. And he's like, well, I've never flown a Nord before. And she goes, you've never flown any plane before. It's like, why did you ask
him? Why did you ask him to fly a plane?
Why did you ask?
Okay. Honestly, in the writer's defense of that moment in the movie, he's never, like, not been able to operate a vehicle she's pointed him towards yet.
That's true. Okay. I
like,
guess.
This
it's
kid
still
just,
stupid.
Like...
You know what?
I don't know. If I was a kid watching that show, though, I also feel like I could have flown that plane, because I've flown a lot of flight simulators in my life.
Oh, man. I don't know. I just flew, and it's like... I was the co-pilot, and I was like, If my dad has a heart attack, I have no idea what any of these buttons mean. But have you guys seen Tropic Thunder?
Of course
I
have.
When Tom Cruise is like, you, who's the key grip? I want you to punch that guy really effing hard. It's like, that's what I want to do to the writers of that scene.
I just want... Okay, can I do my bad now? Because...
Yeah, do your bad. I'm in. I'm sorry.
For fuck's sake, I am so sick of this regurgitated bullshit, and I'm like, thank God for the writer's strike, because they can't come up with an original if they hit him in the ass.
I am right there with you, buddy.
God damn it, Kathleen Kennedy needs to be fucking fired. I'm like, you ruined Star Wars, you fucking ruined Marvel, and then you... God forbid you ruin Indiana Jones. I'm like, okay, this movie didn't ruin it totally, but I'm like, it is not good either.
So is Kathleen Kennedy British? I'm looking it up
right now. I don't know, but she's... Because
apparently everyone... Everyone keeps saying in everything she does, she inserts some brunette British woman that's like, everyone says it's like a self-insert, like Ray and Helena. And then I didn't see the Willow show because I didn't really love the original Willow Solo, that much.
The same thing. Emilia Clarke, come on.
No, she's American.
Emilia Clarke?
No, Kathleen Kennedy. Sorry.
Oh, well, still, but the still, British brunette thing stands.
Yeah. She might be a American brunette in Willow.
We'll see how Ahsoka goes. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we know at least one of the women in that's not going to be a brunette in the typical sense of the word.
That's true. I don't know. I'm not super put off by that yet. It looks promising, but we'll see.
I am, just because I have no faith in Star Wars. Though I am glad Eddie, who commented on the Doom episode, bullied me into watching Andor again. And the first episode of Andor, I still think is terrible. But the rest of the show is actually pretty good.
That's my bad. Unoriginal writing and gaping plot holes.
Yeah. So my bad is that I have so much. I'll try to parse it down. But I guess the overall theme of my bad is that this movie doesn't feel like they had a really awesome idea for an Indiana Jones movie that they just had to make. And they were like, we know Harrison Ford's a little old, but how cool would this be? Like, let's see if we can make it happen. It really felt like, hey, we own this property and we want to make money off it, so let's make it happen. And everything else came from that. Like, there's nothing everything in this movie.
I do like the way that it ends, though. I feel like it gives more closure than Crystal Skull did, because they left that open for more, which I found was like, are you kidding me with this?
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with that. But
because I'm like, okay, he's back with her, like, they've moved on, there's not gonna be any more, he's happy, whatever, he's retired. Like, if they do more, I will be pissed, because I'm like, no, leave it, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's like Pirates, you should have left that after 3. Like,
yeah. it does end on some nice closure, I think. To slog for like 2 hours and 40 minutes to get to that closure, the movie follows the same formula, rinse and repeat style. It's the bad guys capture Indy. They don't just kill him for some reason, which is made evident later on in the scene, but it's not readily evident. Every single scene, like everything a character does in this movie, eventually makes sense, but it never makes sense up front. You're like,
well, Nate, it's because all the characters can see into the future except for that one guy that gets tucked off the bridge by the kid.
But yeah, like when the kid like smashes the car into like the thing and saves them, it wasn't really clearly established to me that the kid was with Helena, and then later on it's like, oh, he's one of her buddies. But it's that everything a character does in that movie is that it's like later on in the scene it will make sense, but I never went into a scene understanding what the hell was going on. But so anyway, they catch Indy. Indy makes an improbable getaway that only works because of the bad guy's sheer, stunning,
incompetence.
Jaw-dropping incompetence. Like, stormtroopers could really shine against these guys. Like, you could take, just pull any stormtrooper out of a march and be like, hey, show these guys how it's done. And they could really bring them up to something resembling fighting shape. And then there's a huge chase scene after Indy gets away because of their incompetence that goes on for far too long, and then they kind of get away, and the cycle repeats no less than 4 times throughout the movie. And I don't enjoy it. I honestly can't say during all the action sequences I ever had any fun. I just was sitting there like waiting for it to end.
I don't know.
I had so much fun during the driving chase scene.
Yeah.
I thought that one was a lot of fun.
But again, it's regurgitated. Which one? That happened in Crystal Skull too. Like
the one fair. In like Morocco when they're like going with the tricycles around the city.
Yeah.
That one was kind of fun, I guess. That's my bad, I guess, is it's just like, it's just formulaic, and I really feel like they didn't have any ideas that necessitated, is that how you say that word? Necessitated a movie.
Facilitated, yeah.
Yeah.
But, that's like every Indiana Jones movie, though. That happens every time, so at least they stayed with the routine, I guess, but...
Yeah, yes, except for it's usually fun. in Raiders, you know, you get it broken up with a little bit of spelunking, maybe some like character stuff, like don't eat the dates, so a little bit of tension, some maybe a history lesson or two that's not complete BS. Also, I could never understand, this is a bad, because I feel like you shouldn't have to go into an Indiana Jones movie and do too much thinking, but I could not figure out what the hell the plot was, or like what they were going, like the artifacts they would find. Like, I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what the dial was supposed to do. I never understood what any of it was, or like any of the clues. I couldn't follow along with any of it.
Most other Indiana Jones really does at the beginning. They're just like, here's this thing. We're going to find it.
Yep. I did not learn anything that I didn't already know about Archimedes. I'll point that out, which I don't feel like is in the other Indiana Joneses. I like learned things, which is maybe a little bit sad, but.
I don't know. That didn't bother me because they could have really overblown it. Like, oh, they could have made some shit up, you know, like given the dial is probably not a real thing in the sense they made it, like, but the Ark of the Covenant's a real thing, the Holy Grail is a real thing, like, given the Temple Doom's kind of
aliens weird, are a real thing.
I mean, they're all based in factual mythical whatever, but
yeah, like, I didn't know anything about the cult of Kali. That was my favorite thing to learn about, is there was like, our word thug comes from the thuggies, which are in Temple of Doom. It's like a band of like nomadic robbers from India or something like that. It's pretty cool. Panda Bear, you want to give us your ugly?
Yep. Yeah.
Give me the ugly, baby.
We touched on it earlier, but the goddamn CGI of him running atop of the train. I'm like, dude, yeah. It looks like Metroid. What the fuck is that shit?
Oh, man, dude. I remember one of my first thoughts during the movie was, does everything have to be CG? Like, we can't have any practical sets?
Well, I think that's part of the issue with having to de-age people is you kind of have to approach it that way or it doesn't look right. But
no, you're just de-aging their face. You could totally have them in a real setting. They did it a lot with I want to say they did it with Captain Marvel and Nick Fury, but I don't actually know that for a fact, so I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's right. Paul Walker thing and
Paul Seven. Walker's a great That's example, true. Yeah.
Given that the guy, his brother looks like him, so it probably wasn't as difficult. I'm sure that the double they were using to mask Harrison Ford wasn't exactly like Harrison Ford.
It definitely didn't look like Grand Moff Tarkin or Leia in Rogue One, though.
Mm-hmm. True.
Which were pretty plasticky. Or Luke in The Mandalorian. That one was rough. They hired, listeners probably already know this if they're interested in this kind of stuff at all, but so the Luke de-aging in the season 2 of Mandalorian was pretty bad, and some YouTuber did like a way better job, and they actually ended up hiring him for Book of Boba Fett. And while I have a list way too long to do an episode on of problems with the Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian season 3, the Luke deep fake in Book of Boba Fett was pretty freaking good.
Oh, man. The opening scene of Indiana Jones is also my ugly. It's so overcompensating.
I agree. I'm not sure I understand what you mean by overcompensating, though. I think I agree.
I feel like at the outset of this movie, I'm pretty sure everyone involved was thinking Harrison Ford's old, so we gotta make it seem like we gotta
make him kick some butt in this
young
opening.
Indiana Jones has to really like kick some ass.
Yeah,
in the beginning of this movie because he's not gonna do it the rest of the movie.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I agree with that.
That's fair.
That's what I mean by overcompensating. I mean, sequence wise, if you put another like, young Harrison Ford, and they did practical effects, I mean, it still would be like unbelievable and over the top. But I mean, it'd be more like less compensating for he's old now.
Could we just put a freeze on train scenes for a good 5 years? I'm so tired of
that. Absolutely not. They're so hip and happening right now, Nate. We gotta have more, actually.
I'm so tired of it.
That didn't bother me because of the timeline that it's set in. Like, trains were a huge deal when the Nazis were a thing in Europe. Like,
yeah, it's just so overdone.
They're not gonna drive the artifact from wherever the hell they were in the middle of nowhere to Berlin. Like,
yeah, I don't feel like this one was woke.
No.
Definitely not. This was an Indiana Jones movie through and through.
Yeah, I didn't mind that there was a female lead. It didn't bother me.
I think that they...
Because Indiana Jones always has that central other lead female character. Like, given this one's a bit more prevalent. But yeah, no, it didn't.
I was thinking it was going to be woke. And I think what makes it... Like, woke stuff can be good. The Critical Drinker pointed out that like League of Legends Arcane, the Netflix show, is like super woke, but it's still really good. I think when I say woke and it's like a bad thing, it means that it's like the character's like identity as usually a female or a person of color or some kind of weird sexual minority is that that's their entire character and they bring nothing else to the table other than that. And I would say this movie really doesn't fall into that. But even sometimes when movies do, as long as the character's still good, like someone like Abby in The Last of Us or something like that, it's as long as they're still a real character with like flaws and an arc and personality.
Right. There is one character in this film that I'm like, it felt kind of like forced. It's the CIA agent. I'm like, she's the only, like, from what I remember, she's the only black character. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, how does she fit in with the rest of these people? Like, it doesn't make, they never, I'm like, okay, so he's a scientist for NASA, but that one didn't make sense to me.
If it was in modern times, it would have made sense, but it's like happening during, you know, the 60s and everything. So that would have been her role would have been, I feel like, kind of out of place. And maybe that's why she's a CIA agent, is because you wouldn't expect a black woman to maybe be in the government. I could be dead wrong, but...
Well, I'm like, really? If there had been more black characters, that wouldn't have bothered me so much. I'm just like, it felt like you... we're forced to put that in there because of how things are. I'm just like, yes, if there had been other, like, I don't know. Didn't fit to me.
It didn't really bother me, but I did notice it as well.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they would have found a new bad guy instead of reintroducing the whole Nazi thing, because, like, we keep saying it's all regurgitated and stuff. Though I will say, if you're going to add Nazis in, having, like, an American scientist who was a former Nazi is the way to do it. So that's...
Right.
That's good.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another ugly of mine. I'm just like, can we pick different actors to play villains, please? I love Mads Mikkelsen.
No, true.
But for fuck's sake!
Make him be a good guy for a second.
He's the bad guy in...
he's good at his craft.
Doctor Strange. He's the bad guy in The Crime of Grindelwald. He's the bad guy in like 35 other... I'm like, yes, we get it. He's good at being bad. And I'm like, but you could have picked any other actors to be a bad Nazi guy. Like,
yeah.
And I'm...
His character was not super compelling either. Like, there's just...
No, I'm like... the Kate Blanchett's villain, Blanchett's villain from Crystal Skull was way better.
Yep. I agree. Here's another ugly for you, boys. They de-aged Indy's face, but not his voice. Did that bother you guys like it did me?
I didn't really notice it because Harrison Ford has always had a bit of a crackle to him.
Yeah, he's had some gravel in his voice, but not like he does now.
That's true. I didn't notice that they didn't de-age his voice.
When he's yelling, he just sounds like he did when he was younger. But like when he's talking like quietly, it's like he sounded so old. And just like hearing that old grandpa voice coming out of that young body.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they have the... I mean, they probably do, but I don't know if they have the ability to de-age voices yet. Like, enough to make it legit.
I feel like that would be way easier than de-aging their face. Like, you...
I mean, yeah. You can isolate frequencies and, like, yeah.
Yeah, get a... There's so many voice actors that sound exactly like Harrison Ford, too. Not saying that's necessarily the way to do it, but... It can be done.
No, I mean, it's an Indiana Jones film. Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones. It's like if they decided to do an Indy reboot and, like, no, you're not touching that. Stop it.
All right. Are you guys ready for my real ugly, though?
Give it to me, Nate.
Give me
the ugly.
Here we go.
The ugliest ever is, can we just let Harrison Ford's characters not be alcoholic and divorced for once? Like, Han and Leia kind of makes a little bit more sense, but Indy and Marion got married when they were in their, like, 60s or 70s. Like, and I get, you know, Mutt died and everything and whatnot, so they gave a good reason for it, but then she comes back just because... Indy doesn't do anything in this movie, by the way. He has no character arc, and he's old and kind of set in his way, so I'm not, like, too upset about it, but Helena has a character arc. And then she gets Marion to come back completely, like, but Indy does nothing to really, like, move the events of the film or his story forward in any way. But
that's really true.
I think that if Marion was in the movie from the get-go, and maybe they did something about her and Indy mourning the loss of their son, they could have done something interesting with that,
well,
but I mean, don't at all like the way they did it.
I like how they did it. Because he talks about it on the ship before they go for the dive. Like,
yeah, my favorite part in the whole movie.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, thank God they're explaining this, because I was just like, what the fuck? Again, really? You leave the woman again? Like, come on, Indy. I mean, given that's his thing, he's got a different chick in every movie, but like...
Yeah, but you settle.
Marion is the chick. Come
you
on.
Settle down when you get married in your late 60s. I feel like I don't know what the elderly divorce rate is. But
I mean, at that point, I think you just stick with them because you don't have that much longer.
It's
going to
be 20 years tops.
Yeah, hold it together to the finish line. You made it this far.
I mean, you get your heart ripped out by Kali. You see the Ark of Covenant exploding people. You Holy Grail water and decide not to be eternal. You see alien crystal skulls, and now you're dealing with time travel, meeting Archimedes. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, relationship is the least of your concerns.
Right. Yeah, I think that they kind of saved it in the end, but I think that they could have done something more better with it. But
yeah, I feel like there needed to be more there. Like, okay, Mutt died. She was a wreck. You're a stone cold, no emotion guy. Of course you couldn't help her, but like, come on. Like, give us a little more with it.
He's not stone cold, no emotion. It destroyed him, too. If he could go back in time, he'd make him not go to war. He'd tell him he'd die.
Fair.
Also, what do you guys think about Helena's character? I could not make heads or tails about how I felt about her, other than positive. I never liked her, really. Until, like, towards the end of the movie, she started growing on me, but she has the exact opposite of a save-the-cat moment, which in screenwriting is when Early on in the movie, no matter if you want someone to like a character, they have to do something to make you like them. Like, for example, save a cat or something. And she does the exact opposite of that. Right after we meet her, she leaves Indy for dead. She locks him in a room with killers.
Well, her motivation is weird, and it's fair because, you know, he, like, it's a whole abandonment thing. Like, her dad was crazy. He, like, tried to fix it, but it made it worse. And then, like, you know, Indiana Jones is not good with children. Let's just put that out there.
He was great with Short Round.
Yeah, I mean.
But
I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what happened to Short
Round.
That's
true.
Unless you watch the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, you find out he becomes an archaeologist and follows in his footsteps. But
he doesn't do well with family life.
Right. And that's something that annoys me about all of Harrison Ford's characters. They all seem to have that problem. Like, Han Solo has the same issue.
Yep.
I never liked her until when Indy says he wants to stay in ancient Greece and she just decks him. That was her save the cat moment for me.
Real late at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, when there's not, like, almost no time to redeem her. And she, like, turns around and says, "All right, you are a father figure to me, and you're coming home with me."
That was the only time the audience I was with in the theater laughed in the entire movie. And,
yeah, usually Indiana Jones pretty quippy, though.
Yeah, well, I don't think, for me personally, I didn't even laugh then. But that was the only time anyone else laughed. So I think it's a testament that the jokes in this one, like, the Indiana Jones movies have some pretty good comic relief.
Yeah, and on that and note,
this one does, like, not.
I'm glad that they brought Shala back, but I'm like, come on. If you look at the other movies he was in already, he is that wisecrack, like, he didn't have that. I'm like, okay, I get that he's old, but and yes, he's a fun grandpa, but give him some wisecracks in there. It'll help.
Much like this entire movie, there was really no reason for him to come back. He just did because, oh, you guys like Solo, right? So here he is.
Wow, and I think that's probably why they didn't...
I loved seeing Solo.
Yeah.
No regrets.
And like I said, I would have loved to see Short Round too, but I'm like, I think that would have been doubling up and would have made it real bad.
Yeah, they gotta save him for the next Indiana Jones movie.
Stop it. No, please stop.
It's not that I didn't like seeing them. It's just they didn't bring them back in any compelling way. It's like this entire movie is just an exercise in forcing something to happen without it happen. It's if there's one word to describe this entire movie, it is contrived. That is the word for the day. Contrived.
That's I'm not sure it's worth such a obscure word. I think this movie was just like a money grab.
Well, that's what. Here, because I know how to use the word. I don't really know what the dictionary definition is, but
yeah, this movie, the ugly of it, the true ugliness of it all is that it's just so obviously a money grab.
Contrived, obviously planned or calculated, not spontaneous or natural, labored, unnatural, forced, showing effects of planning or manipulation.
Perfect. All right,
contrived it is. You're here to hear first-ish. Contrived. Not only do you get our opinions, you get educated.
I'm glad.
Right.
I'm glad that I'm glad that the definition, like, works so well because, like I said, I know how to use it. I don't necessarily know how to define it. I read a little. All
right, boys. I think it's time for the bear claws to come out.
Fresh out of the oven.
Fresh baked.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny might not deserve them, but it's getting bear claws anyway.
Controversial opinion. I don't think it's the worst indie movie.
I know you don't like the aliens oceans. We get it.
I mean, there are parts where I'm like, okay, it's there were parts of it where I'm like, okay, this could, I could see this on Temple of Doom level, but then it shot itself in the ass. But
I think we can all agree that Raiders of the Lost Ark is,
oh, like, by far,
lightning in a bottle. How in the world did anyone make anything this good? And then,
right,
and then
I like Last Crusade better.
The Last Crusade is just so much fun. Like,
yeah,
that movie is just, is just childhood like joy. That is true
also,
cinema.
Also, the amount of times it's like referenced, you have chosen poorly.
It belongs in a museum. That's from The Last Crusade too.
Yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start us off. I'm going to give Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny a 5.
All right.
It is the modern day, just average movie they're putting out right now.
Yeah, that is true.
Unfortunate, but true.
Oceans, you want to go next, or should I go?
Yeah, I'm going
to
give it...
Oh, do you guys want me to take an average on this one?
Yeah, sure. Might as well. Okay. We usually do, so.
You're right.
Let's not stop.
I inherently like Indiana Jones. So, Raiders is a 10. Last Crusade's probably...
I'll give Raiders
like,
a 10. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Last Crusade's probably like an 8 or 9. Temple's probably 7 or 6. Yeah, I'm going to give this one a 6.
All right.
I agree with Polar Bear in that it's just average for what's coming out today, but I don't really want to see that for indie. I think indie deserves better than average because Raiders is a 10. Last Crusade's at least an 8 or a 9, if not a 10 as well for me. So I'm giving it a 3. It's just, it's not like the worst thing I've ever seen, but it more than misses the mark a little bit for me.
I think it helped that I had the expectation that it was going to be god-awful, the worst thing I've ever saw, and it wasn't, so I think that helped a little, but...
Yeah.
If you went in with that negative, like, any kind of hope, I think you would be disappointed.
That's the thing for me, is it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I also just didn't really ever enjoy any of it, which is why it's a 3 and not a 4 for me.
Well, and the fact that we're talking about an Indiana Jones movie and we even have the thought of it being bad in the mind tells you a lot.
Yeah. I actually didn't hate, like, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull like everyone else did either, so I don't really feel like I'm that
hard and again,
of an audience
it,
to sell, but...
I would give that one a 5. It's just mediocre. I mean, it's still an indie film and I'm going to like it, but...
Yeah. I thought that one was more interesting than this one. Like, yes, he gets in a refrigerator to survive a nuclear explosion, but also they did the whole 50s thing and the Cold War stuff and there was a nuclear explosion, so it's like there's things that were interesting about it to me, and this movie, just nothing about this movie is interesting to me. He rides a horse through a subway. That was pretty fun.
That was fun. Yeah.
I think the Crystal Skull was great.
Okay.
I liked it better, I think. Like I said, it's been years since I've seen it, but I feel like I liked it more than this by quite a bit. I never hated it like everyone did.
I never hated it. You're trying to compete with, like, one of the greatest trilogies ever, and it's just like, mm-hmm. Please don't. It's like this whole Star Wars thing. The original three are great. It goes downhill from there.
Yeah. I don't even think I would give A New Hope 10 out of 10.
No.
Or Empire Strikes. I don't think I'd give any of the Star Wars movies a 10 out of 10, so that really goes, like, I'm not kidding. Raiders of the Lost Ark is like...
Oh, yeah.
That movie, I feel like, should be studied for years to come.
What's our average on Dial of Destiny?
Our average rating of Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny is a 4.6.
Oh, God.
That feels
really
about right.
She is She is below average this one.
Sorry, Indy. I'm okay with that.
Sorry, Indy. They done you dirty.
Do we have any final thoughts on it? I think they need to let Indiana Jones lay where he lies. That's it.
Yeah.
If I hear anything else about it, I'm going to be very upset.
I think this Indiana Jones would have been a better book, like a light novel, than a movie.
I don't know. You guys aren't excited to see Phoebe Waller-Bridge take the next installment?
Nope. I don't like her character.
No, I don't either.
She's such a conniving...
I do...
Like, she's never... She's not redeemed. The only thing she did good was punch Indiana Jones because he was being a moron.
I don't feel like we were... Like, they made her just perfect and, like, we were supposed to like her without doing any groundwork to make us like her, like most female characters that are written nowadays. So I like that about it. It's like she's just bad because she's not a good person.
Well, and I
yeah, that's
fine.
I feel like if they go out and make her be Indiana Jones, it's gonna become, we talked about the whole woke thing, I'm like, at that point I think it will be.
Yeah, no, this woman's not it. I'm sorry.
We're not saying that Indy 5 is bad. And we're not saying that it could not be watched in an Indiana Jones marathon, because it does have its place, but it's not Raiders, and it was never going to be Raiders. So if you had that expectation, you're dead wrong, and you need to get that out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. But now that we've talked about a thing that we didn't like so much, let's talk about the exact opposite and say, what are we loving? I'll start with, I'm loving there's actually clouds in the sky now instead of it being 123 degrees and 0% humidity and no chance of relief.
I am loving summer and doing fun summer things. I got a haircut. So canonically in Bear Attack lore, a Blitz Bear is a shaved bear because it lost all its hair in the explosion. So now I'm kind of living a little bit more in that lifestyle now. I'm turning my garage into a lemonade mocktail speakeasy this coming weekend. So I've been thinking about drinks and like what we're gonna do, and I want to put up like lights and like an actual bar and like bring the couch up into the garage, and then we're gonna sell lemonade to the neighbors, like, and soda and energy drinks and stuff, like it's a lemonade stand.
I'm loving that this will be past tense when y'all hear this episode, but I'm going to a show tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah. Three Doors Down is doing the 20th anniversary of their second album, Away From the Sun, which is probably my favorite album by them. Polar Bear, unlike Indiana Jones, I feel like we've come to our natural conclusion. Can you please wrap it up for us before we pull a Kathleen Kennedy on ourselves?
Guys, thanks for listening to the episode. We appreciate you and all your feedback. So if you want to give us a little more interaction, we have polls on the old Spotify's. If you're listening on your phone, if you're listening on your computer, stop that, listen on your phone, and interact with us. Leave us a 5-star review anywhere you can. It doesn't have to be anything good. I'd prefer good, but as long as it's 5 stars, I'll take what I can get. And we'll read your comment on... If it's good, we'll read your comment on air, and if it's bad and it makes us laugh, we'll also read it on air.
Yeah, and for this episode's poll, I feel like we should just have you guys leave a comment. What did you think about Indy 5? Is it as bad as you thought? Is it not the worst thing ever? Is it the worst thing ever? Are you upset?
Should they have brought Shia LaBeouf back?
Yeah, let us know. Let us know.
I never saw a body either, so should they bring Shia LaBeouf back?
Point. Don't open that can of worms. Uh-huh. We don't want that can of worms. Oh God, you're opening a door.
People really hate,
consider it open.
People really hate Shia LaBeouf
because they're wrong and they should feel bad.
I don't even think Harrison Ford likes him. I think that might have
been
part of
the thing.
Well,
and also when Harrison Ford met him, there was, you know, Shia LaBeouf. There's legitimate reasons why people hate him, but.
Because he's a crazy person. Yes,
he's owned it though, and he's working on it. Like, I really think that he's. If you haven't heard his interview with Jonathan Bernthal on the Real Ones podcast, like it's an amazing listen. Even if Shia LaBeouf doesn't actually like bring it all back and and fails and just continues being a garbage person, like, you should listen to that episode because you might find it inspiring for your own life.
But anyway, before we get down the should they,
right,
should
leave
they
us
not
five run, stars, leave us a yeah. comment, get in on the poll situations all over our Spotify, and hit us up on social media, give us a follow, and slide into our DMs. And until then, we will see you next time on Bear Attack. Bye. Blah.